we wake up every day trying to make money to have a house and stuff, you know, material things. And when you realize that you don't need anything, I think that's the key to be free. From that time, you can start realizing that as soon as you see you don't need nothing, you will have it everything.
Christian from Clarafila, which is just an amazing, remarkable, unique restaurant in Playa del Carmen in Mexico. It's vegan. It's a combination of mostly raw and some cooked meals that are, most of them are locally grown in the garden that Christian has, and then all of it is sustainable. Their messaging is great. It's all about vegan. They have boards, they say, that say friends, not food, with little cow pictures on them. The place is just a beautiful combination of health, environmental messaging, ethical mission behind it, with a food that is tasty in the environment that is cozy. Love the place. It's my mom's favorite restaurant now. But I really wanted to explore a little further with Christian because it is pretty unique. Mexico, right now, especially in Playa del Carmen, that market is not really ripe for a vegan restaurant yet. So I was very curious about his motivation, what really drove him to open that kind of unique place that is not necessarily demand-driven in the heart of Playa del Carmen. And I learned a lot. He's just an amazing being. So he's an architect, and he lived 2 years in a jungle community with like Nell's cell phone in the palata, sleeping on the soil floor with no actual floors. And it gave him some time for reflection and self-realization. And through the new things that he discovered in his mind, he reinvented himself. And he transitioned to a plant-based vegan diet. And he came up on the other end. And now he owns a very successful sprouting business. He started this beautiful restaurant in Playa del Carmen called Clarafila. That if you go on their IG, I mean, the food looks beautiful. Like all the celebrities, especially vegan celebrities that go through, always take pictures with all the beautiful pizzas that they serve. He's also opening a food truck in Tulum, Mexico, actually, and he is on his way to also open like a deli kind store there. But just everything about this guy is really cool and unique, and he really, really drives with his heart, and I really hope you enjoy the conversation and can relate to him as much as I did. And if you do, please go and like his Instagram page on Clarafila. You can check out his website. It's Clarafila in Playa del Carmen. It will come up. And they also have a Facebook page. And if you have been there already, if you've checked out their food, please give them a TripAdvisor review. It really helps them with their ratings and to get more people who are or maybe are not vegan in their doors to help him spread the message and share the beautiful food that he has. So yeah, tune in. I hope you enjoy the episode. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Follow Your Kind podcast. And today I'm thrilled to be speaking with Christian from all the way from Tulum, right? You're in Tulum right now?
Yes.
Hello. Or is it Playa del Carmen?
No, I'm in Tulum right now.
Okay. I know you travel back and forth. Did you say you're in your treehouse?
In the greenhouse.
Oh, got it. Okay. So Christian is the owner and the founder of the amazing restaurant in Playa del Carmen called Clarafila. So, and I was there visiting in December, and this is how we met. So how is the weather right now over there in your part of the world?
Oh, it's really hot right now. It's very sunny, and it's nice. It's not too hot, but it's good for the beach and to go to a cenote and swim a lot. It's really cool.
Yeah, not to make anybody jealous. Oh, I was just talking to my mom.
I have all the cenotes here, but not the time to enjoy it. So don't worry.
Yeah, I was just talking to my mom, and she was saying how much she wants to come back to Mexico. It was me and her visiting in December, so we had an amazing time.
Yes, this place is the paradise in all senses.
Yeah, is it a pretty busy time for you guys this time of the year, or does it matter the seasonality of how many people you get?
These days, this week, yes, because it's a holy week. And here in Mexico, we have this Thursday and Fridays official days, no mm-hmm. working. But it's not a busy week for the foreigners, no, to come, because it's mostly Mexican tourism. But it's nice. It's a good season to come because there is no rains. It's really hot, and it's not so crowded. So, if people is listening, come this month or the next one. It's perfect. I know in North America and Canada, they have good days. So for sure, they say, hey, I don't want to go. But if you don't want to have crowded places, this is the place, the time to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody who is listening should definitely buy their ticket to go to Mexico right now. It was amazing. Okay, so I want to paint the picture of how we met. And a little bit about the restaurant, and maybe so we can kick off the discussion there. So I am vegan, and when I was going to this trip with my mom to Mexico, I thought that I had a full intention of just surviving on fruit and vegetables, just like mostly fresh fruit, which I had no issue with. But I really did not expect there to be much of the vegan options there. I just thought maybe I'll eat some rice and beans, but mostly it'll be fruit. So when we arrived in Playa del Carmen, that's where we stayed for most of the time, we asked around, and there were a few vegan restaurants that people referred to us, which I was very surprised. And then we met this Russian couple in one of the restaurants, and they were just raving about the pizzas in Clarafila. So one of the evenings, me and my mom went for a walk and found your restaurant. And when we walked in, I was completely sold on everything. There were the messaging around, there were the boards saying with the pictures of the, I think it was a picture of the baby cow saying friends, not food. The menu, it was everything around the health aspects and how each of the foods was benefiting your body and in the most whole and the most nutritious form that it can be. The environment aspect was there. The menu was beautifully crafted with all the messaging around it. So by the time the server got to our table, before we even got any food, I was like, okay, I need to meet whoever the person is in charge of this place. So I think I messaged you right away on Instagram, and you probably came out 15 minutes later. Do you get a lot of responses like that? Do you get a lot of excited people when they walk in the door?
Unfortunately, not so much, but the few that that say something or want to know more, it's really surprise about what they see about the restaurant. Many people doesn't believe that this kind of restaurant could be in Mexico. They only expect some fajitas and tacos with a lot of vegetables, but they don't expect all the whole proposal that we offer here, no? And many people compare us to restaurants in many top cities, no? Like Los Angeles, New York, they say, this restaurant should be in Los Angeles, no? And or many restaurants doesn't have this kind of quality, no? Mm-hmm. And they surprise a lot about it.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. My mom is still raving that it is her favorite restaurant that she's ever been to. And my mom is not even vegan. But she still talks about the drinks. I mean, you have so many different cocktails and mocktails that are made
to order, like I think we tried, it was like homemade basil lemonade or something, and all your entrees and pizzas and sushi rolls and everything else that you have. I mean, the presentation of it, the palette, the flavor combination, and the health aspect of it. I don't think I've ever seen a place that has such a wonderful balance of all of these different components. And especially, I mean, I know the vegan movement is becoming more popular in like in America, like some countries in Europe, but I just did not expect to see that in Mexico. So I walked in paradise when I walked in there.
Yes, it's it was a well-crafted idea that gets the work of many people, and we are really happy about the results, of course, but we also are too, really, how you say, I forgot the, I like very the details and things like that, so mm-hmm. I like to perfect the rest to make it more perfect, no, have more things and
mm-hmm. So tell me,
well, like, yes,
tell me a little bit more about the philosophy behind the restaurant, because I know it's some of the conversations that we had when I first met you. You were talking about it being a lighthouse, and I think I really related to the word and your approach to it. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, of course. Well, the restaurants, the idea, the birth of the idea. It's because I am a person that takes care about the earth, the environment, the animals. And I know that if we don't make things right now, we are not expecting to have a place that like we used to have when we were kids, no?
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost 40 years old right now, and I remember when I go to rivers and lakes and beaches, and everything was still perfect. No, it doesn't. You doesn't see too much littering or plastics, and it was a sudden change in the beginning of the 90s when everything started to get really, really bad. No,
mm-hmm.
And I started to know about the plant-based food, and I didn't start really because I take conscious about the animals and things like that. It was more like a starting trying to make a more environmentalist about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the way, of course, I start to see documentaries and read it about the slavery of the animals, and realizing that we are not doing things really good, no? So
mm-hmm. What was the factor that started you on that journey? Did you just notice like more trash around, or like what pushed you to start exploring more in this area?
I think there's always been me a spark of a vegetarian life or not meat eating food, and it started with a friend that it was vegan in that time, and he told me about the goods of not having meat in your plate. No, so I say okay, I will take a chance to see what happened. No, and started doing it, and as soon as I started, I realized all the benefits that you have because of plant food diet. No, and plant based diet, and it was really I was like illumination, no? It's hey, you started realizing that you eat better, you don't have too much sickness, and your brain you're starting to think better and not have the fog issue that any vegan can relate.
Yeah.
And
how old were you at the time?
I was 28
years. Yes. Were you in Mexico at the time? Were you in Tulum? Where were you living at that time?
Okay, I have to talk to you about the history about it, no? Because I'm an architect. I used to work in a rendering studio, making animation, things like that. And as soon as I finished the career, I started to work there. And I was always in front of a computer. So my health wasn't the best, but I wasn't a fat man or things like that. But I wasn't feeling too well about my health. So I quit the job because I used to work for many companies that develop resorts and residential, commercial and things like that. Big projects. A lot of them was from here, from the Riviera Maya. And I say, okay, this is the 2008. So the residential crisis come, the bubble from that, everything collapsed, the economy. Mm-hmm. So my boss doesn't have money to pay me, no? To pay all the workers because the clients doesn't pay him also, no? So it was the time I realized, okay, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to live to the Riviera Maya. I'm going to start my own business. And as soon as I get there, I'm going to start doing vegetarian, no? Because I want to try that of life. And I did. I came to Playa del Carmen. And stay here for 2 months. I start doing the plant-based diet and started doing the business like I was in the old town, but started from zero. No, I was paid with some computers to make my termination with the job, and I came here with that computers, and then I started the business. Mm-hmm. I started to make some connections and some projects. But as soon as I get the first ones, I realized that I was doing the same thing I was doing in the old job. But now I have to deal with the owners, and the owners were so bad people, no? They always try to trip you off, no? So I say, I don't want this thing, for to say kind, and I say, and then there was a proposal from a friend that say, hey, you have to try the plant-based food. And he was starting to like a community in the jungle here in Tulum. They're going to start a restaurant, and if I want to go, I can go. So I quit everything. I sell my computers. I sell everything, and I renounce to my career in that moment, and say, okay, I'm going to do anything, but this I will not do it again. And I come here to the Tulum jungle. And start living in a palapa we doesn't have a floor. It was just dirt. It was no soil. It was only soil. And I have a palapa from like a palitos, the wooden palapa. And that's all. I have a hammock and an old cell phone, not this kind of devices, because there was no such things in that time. And start doing the restaurant business and everything. But there comes another crisis in 2009. It was the flu crisis that starts in Mexico, and there was an alert in all the world and everything, and the project collapsed also. So I was with nothing.
Let's stop for a second. So what did it look like? What does the community in a jungle look like? And like how many people were there?
We started like six people.
Uh-huh.
And we were naive people and thinking that we are going to change the world and stop using money and starting to make an interchange with the things that we can produce and things like that. But of course, it doesn't work in that way. No, you have to be really, really, really grounded, and everything has to be working perfectly to make that kind of life. No, mm-hmm. And here in Tulum, it's a bit expensive, the life, and for a few hippies with no tourism around, it was a kind of problem. No,
how long did you spend there?
I spent in that kind of life, uh-huh. like 2 years.
2 years living in the jungle with no cell phone in Palapa.
In a Palapa, yes.
This is remarkable. So, and the idea was that you were going, like a group of you, the community living in the jungle, you would be like living kind of at your, making your own things for your own use. And then you would have this restaurant for
people in tourists. The highway that mm-hmm. tourists can pass, and we opened a vegetarian restaurant in that moment. It was called the Rasta Rante.
I love it.
It was a hippie style restaurant, and it was okay. We're not too crowded because in the place that we open it, there is no. It's just a highway, and you have to have big signs to get noticed, and mm-hmm. it was like a child project, no?
Mm.
Okay, the tourism collapsed in 2009, sorry, and we started in that process. We received a workshop of how to do sprouts. And we started to do sprouting in this place, and for our consumption and for the restaurant. And we started to grow a little more, and trying to make this interchange. I give you these sprouts, and you can give me, I don't know, vegetables or something. No, we trying to make it in the city with the. With everybody, no, that we could and can accept that kind of thing. And it was really, really nice. It was a good time. I have a great time, and it was like a rainbow time, no? But of course, life is not like that, and you live in a system, and this system goes for you every time, and we have problems with the local authority because the restaurant and the permits, and okay, so we have to close the place, and everybody start living because with the earnings that they have. No, I sold all my equipment, so I have a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to live like that in, I don't know how you say in Mexico, it's a sabbatic year. Like I didn't expect to do anything. And that's when I make the reset of my life, really, in all forms, no? Mm-hmm. I was in meditation and yoga, temazcales, and of course, ceremonies and things like that, and you get more connected with the earth and start deprogramming all the stuff they tell you in the school system, and you open your eyes, no, and realize that you are so screwed making this planet so bad, no? So I mastered the sprout and started to take it more serious. And from that time to now, I have been like 10 years sprouting. And now the business is like 50 employees and a lot of trucks and a lot of work. So wow. From that time and now I see in perspective, it was a good change.
Okay, so I want to get into the business, but before we get into the business, can we hang out a little bit more in the spirituality component? Can you talk a little bit more about, like you said, you opened your eyes and you went through a period of transformation. What were some of the main realizations, if you can put them into words, and talk to me about how do you see the world today versus before?
Before, well, we are all blinded in how we think the life's how the life has to be. No, we wake up every day trying to make money to have a house and stuff. No, material things. And when you realize that you don't need anything, I think that's the key to be free. No, mm-hmm. to from that time you can start realizing that as soon as you see you don't need nothing, you will have it everything. And or you have to be conscious about it, to put your mind in the goals you need, and these goals has to have good intentions of what do you have to receive. And because if you think that you need a car and you think, oh, I need this car because I think this will make me, I don't know, more important like that. The universe will not bring you the car. It will bring you the things that you need to realize and to expand your conscious and make good things, no, in the earth, no. It's kind of this secret thing, but I'm not talking about this. This is how it's used to work, but it's kind of related, no? It's if you have a good intention and you put your mind and your heart and you don't expect to take anything about it, everything will come, no? It's hard to tell, no? It's easy to see it with the third eye, but not to express it with words.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because I think a lot of things when we become clear on certain things that we were not able to see before, it becomes suddenly hard to understand how is it that we didn't see them before, but then somehow we didn't, right? But then when we like have that realization, we're like, oh, this is so obvious. I cannot believe that I didn't realize that, you know, putting animal flesh on your plate comes at the expense of taking somebody else's life, or that every time I make a decision to choose this over the other, it has consequences that go beyond my level of influence or even beyond my age and generation. Sometimes this trash that we create is going to stay here for like centuries to come.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. And this is amazing. And then how do you transition from having that realization and, as you say, opening your eyes to then finding the purpose and going into this business of sprouting and restaurants. Talk to me about your kind of purpose, motivation, and vision behind the things that you do today.
Well, it's kind of easy to tell you because it's something that flashed me every time I try to ask the universe what I should go or do or make to be good here. It's I have a mission, and the mission is trying to spread health, consciousness, and example of what do we have to do to make a good living, like the humanity, no, in all the whole world. We can't know, like growing food for you, good, healthy, organic, plant-based food, and showing people that this is possible. If an architect that always be in front of a desk in a computer could change his life and start doing differently and making good for other beings, everybody can do it. No, it's just one. It's just you just want to do it and realize that it is kind of your mission. No.
And I think for now, when you talk about it with that history and that context, the word lighthouse and kind of that formula for what you do, for your work being a lighthouse of everything else good there is in the universe, it makes so much sense, because you are like a lighthouse. You're kind of showing people the direction, and you're showing them that it's possible. And like, through your restaurant, for example, through Chlorophylla, you're showing them that it's possible to eat food that is healthy, environmentally friendly, cruelty-free, that's flavorful, that is fun, that is luxurious, all at the same time. So there is really no downside to living your best life and helping others to do the same thing.
Exactly. And here in Mexico, we have a lot to work to do, because knowledge gives you the weapons to make the good things, no? And if people doesn't realize that they can have pizzas and sandwiches and tacos without the necessary the need of having meat, well, it's I'm showing them that they can do it, and it's really easy. You know, you don't have to make too much complicated things. You just have to put your time in those things and do it. You know, it's if this guy could do it, you can also do it. You
know? Okay, so I have a few questions that my mom asked me to ask you. And one of them is, where do you get your recipes? Because she was a big fan. And she's a really good cook, but we're both from Ukraine. So her cooking style is definitely a lot different. And she is very much, like, she loves the food that I introduced her to. So she's down with all the vegan food, but herself, she's not necessarily vegan. I think she's moving in that direction, but she's not necessarily vegan. But your restaurant, I'm serious, she's still raving about it. And she's tried, she lives in Charleston, South Carolina, which has amazing food scene. And your restaurant is her favorite restaurant by far now.
Thank you, and greetings to your mom. It's funny that you ask, because that's kind of what I am talking to you, because the first thought about opening a restaurant was to give added value to my products. So I say, I have this material, I can make a great quality food, and I only selling these sprouts or herbs or whatever to fine dining restaurants and restaurants all over the Riviera Maya, no? And I say to myself, but you can make it better and show them how to use them, and also give them added value, no? Because I control the production, and if I sell them directly to the restaurant,
to the business, mm-hmm,
clients, you will get more because you are not selling the product, no?
Mm-hmm.
So it was also an economical issue, but the thing is, I could easily open a meat, all meat kind of restaurant, and I will be more successful than the way I have it, you know, because I open the range to every people. I could have vegan options and meat options, and everyone could go there and be pleased, no?
Mm-hmm.
But I will be not happy with the getting money of that, because I believe that we should stop eating meat because it's bad for the environment. So so I opened this restaurant, no, this vegan restaurant. And when I opened it, it was a kind of it's another big story, because I used to have a partner, mm-hmm, that not vegan, but by nothing. It's a chef and everything, and he wanted to open a restaurant or a store, and then the place that we rent the store beside it was a big store in the side of this store that we were opening,
uh-huh,
and they left the building, so the owner of the place talked to us and say, hey, if you want it, you have to grab it right now, because if not, I want to rent it to another person, no? So that's why I rush off and open a restaurant, no? And I'm too confident about my food and what I can do, so I'm going to open a restaurant, no? And in that moment, I didn't have a chef. I didn't have a, well, this partner was the chef, and we were opening a Greek style restaurant, because he has all the recipes. He is Greek, and okay. I say, okay, let's do it. A vegetarian. I don't want to have meat, but vegetarian. Okay. I don't like it also, but it's, I know I have a partner and have to be more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened this in the start. Clorofila was vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have discussions and problems and a lot of things. And we split, and I take the restaurant and the store. So now it was my total control. So I decided to take all the milk and cheese and start doing a vegan restaurant. And in that time, I, for matters of life, because it wasn't expected, a worker that is a a family for me, a girl. This girl comes from Chile, and his name is Maria. It's a lovely person. She lives right now in Rapa Nui, in Chile, in the island. And she have a workshop for several, I don't know, years or months or what. But she has a workshop with the Espacio Depurativo in Argentina. It's a really known place of a plant-based food diet, and they do detox and cleansings and stuff like that, like a nutrition studies from the China study, like things like that.
Dr. Chico and Campbell.
Uh-huh, exactly. And they do all this kind of related kitchen. And many of the recipes were from that knowledge, you know, and the raw and fresh and things and how to use it. No, you in the menu you will not have a lot of cooked stuff and things like that. No, it's just, it's like a blend of raw and cooked things. No, and that's where it comes the menu. We of course I make a participation in the decisions and what to keep, what to take off, and another friend also contributes. It's called Alejandro, and everyone make the menu, but it's mostly that kind of dishes because this school, no, that they have in Argentina. It's just your mom can say why it's so good, no?
That's amazing. I'll tell her. This is so cool. So basically, like, you don't really have an executive chef right now. It's between you and Alejandro who make most of the decisions about like any of the foods and what the menu looks like. And then it sounds like the staff maybe gets to participate as well with suggestions and feedback. Is that how it works?
Yes, and Maria also is the head chef that creates mostly all the part of the menu.
Oh, so she still is a part of it. She lives in Chile, but she helps you out remotely?
No, right now it's in her own project, but she helped me to start this restaurant.
Got it. Okay, all right. So that sounds good. Tell me, what are some of your favorite dishes on the menu? I mean, like, everybody who is listening to it right now should just go to Clorofila's website and look at their menu. It looks absolutely amazing. There are breakfasts, there's pizzas, there's like appetizers, there are plenty of desserts. It's just amazing. I think I tried both of the desserts. The chocolate, some kind of cake, was amazing. I don't remember what kind of appetizer we had, but we had, I think, two or three kinds of pizzas, and their pizzas are just to die for. I mean, they look beautiful, but they taste even better. What are some of your favorite dishes?
Yeah, the pizzas are great. It's one of my favorites. And the spreads. The hamburgers, they like it a lot, the hamburgers. I'm not, because I'm not so bread guy, and I like more fresh and flavorful things. But the pizzas are one of the best of the menu.
Yeah, and I saw, I was looking at your website before we started talking, and I saw that you have sushi as well too, and I don't know how we didn't try it, but I think we our table was full of food already, so I don't think we could have possibly fit anything else while we were there. Okay, then the second question from my mom was, she was curious if everybody who works in your restaurant is vegan. I don't know if she's trying to apply for a job with you.
Sadly, not all the people it's vegan in the restaurant, because there's not too much vegans in the world. Sadly, yes, but I can say you that many of the people that work there, they are not allowed to make meat in the restaurant and to bring things, you know, so they are partially vegan for mostly of the day. So, and of course, many of them have realized why a plant-based food is good for them, no? Because they eat a lot of vegetables, and I think they, in their interior, could say, okay, vegan is good, but I a little bit soft no, and make some indulgence in their life. So I don't know. It's I have a lot of vegetarians that come to a restaurant and realize that going vegan is the way to go. So
yeah, I think it also. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I think it also goes alongside with your like the philosophy of being a lighthouse, you know, you attract people of all kinds of walks of life and all different parts of the world and all of different kinds of philosophies. So what a beautiful way for somebody who is not vegan or maybe haven't even heard about it or just not sure about it to be exposed to beautiful vegan food and then also to the message of environment and non-cruelty, but by working at your restaurant.
It's funny that you say that because it happens a lot. I have many meat eaters that say to me, "Hey, I because of Clorofila, I went vegan." No, and that's the best reward I can have because that's why that's the intention that opens that restaurant. No, to open the people's eyes.
Yeah, this is beautiful. That it truly must be probably the most rewarding thing that you hear. Yeah, well, I guess that's awesome. I'll pass the word to my mom that she, if she wanted to, she can definitely apply for a job. Okay, so I also know we briefly talked about it before we started recording, but you have a few other exciting things on the line for you, not that you have extra time on your plate, but so tell me about the food truck idea, El Bajon. Is that how you say it?
Ah, the tacos. Yes, I'm always in the need of something new, and I have a lot of work, and somehow I always sabotage myself making new things. And if I have a little time, I see what I have to do to have nothing. So I'm opening a taco place. It's called the El Bajon. It's going to be here in Tulum, and it's El Bajon is because it's related to the munchies.
I love it.
From smoking weed, so I think people can relate what I'm talking about. So yes, it's a new. A new vegan taco in Tulum.
Right, and then so the Clorofila restaurant is in Playa del Carmen, and then the food truck is going to be in Tulum. So it's going to be a little bit of a distance. What it's about like an hour drive in between the two, is it?
Yes, it's 1 hour, less or more.
And then, so you told me that the truck, this vegan food truck, is going to be located right next to the very popular not vegan food truck.
And it's not a food truck; it's a cochinita style tacos. It's from pork, and it's I think it's the most famous place in Tulum about tacos. And we are trying to make a statement there, no? Like, hey, you have the cochinita, we'll have these vegan tacos, and you can tell that you can have a taco without the cruelty that involves the food, no?
This is really cool. It's pretty rebellious, but it's also really, really cool. Okay, so what are the ways that people who are listening can help you out with your mission? So I know you were talking about how I mean, first of all, just following you on Instagram at Clorofila. What's your IG handle?
From the Instagram, it's clorofila.vegan.
Clorofila.vegan. And then also if...
it's also the same in Facebook.
Okay.
And then if you want to go to the webpage, you go www.clorofila.rest. R-E-S-T. From restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. And your Instagram feed is just beautiful. Like all the foods and all of the sprouting things and all of the graphics from, is it Mariana? Is she the girl who does all of your drawing on the boards? I think she was out one of our servers, one of the nights that we went.
Yes. She's the best waiter I have. And she's great. She's really sweet and she also draws really great, and she helped us with the cows are friends, not food.
Mm-hmm.
That you saw, and yeah, she's an amazing artist.
Yeah, she's wonderful. My mom loved her too. The second night that we came back, we got another server who was also wonderful, but my mom was like, where is Mariana? Okay, and so another thing that we can do to help, so if anybody is listening, if you've ever been to Chlorophylla, or if you're curious, or if you've heard good things, please leave a review on TripAdvisor, right? Because that will really help you to attract more business.
Exactly. To make people, meat eaters, not meat eaters, to get to know us, that's the best thing that you can do to support the project.
Okay. Okay. So what else do you see in the future for you? What else are you planning in your vision? I think you also mentioned there is another store for like a pickup deli style food coming up in Tulum.
Yes, I am also opening a Tulum store from Chlorophylla, and it's going to be more like a deli, not a restaurant. Maybe in the future I will open a restaurant here in Tulum also. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm too busy with all the things I have to do. I'm renovating the greenhouse to make it more easy to produce and have more things also. So I'm really, really, I don't have time to make a restaurant right now, maybe in the future.
Okay, so I think this is a good segue to talk a little bit of how do you keep your practice of being connected, and how do you keep your practice of staying mindful and not getting caught up in the business and the money, or being busy, or sitting in front of the screens? Like, what does your spiritual practice look like today? Looks like today, and how do you balance the busyness of your life that you have every day?
Well, that's a question I also make myself, but it's kind of the flow. I really make it. I don't make so much planning. I used to just receive what I need to in the moment and do it like by myself. No, and I know it's trying to get not so much stress in my life, no, because I have a lot of situations I can't control. And just take it in the spiritual way and breathe and say, okay, if I can change it. Okay, I'm going to ask the universe to do it for me, and things happen. No, like sometimes I get problems with the employees, and I don't have a waiter or something. I just say, "Hey, universe, you have to to send me someone," and it happens, and they appear, and things like that. Happens in my life. No, it's just have to put the intention on it.
This is so cool. How about, I remember when we talked last time, or maybe when we were trying to schedule the interview, I think you mentioned something about like unplugging for the weekend sometimes when you can, and going into the jungle kind of without your devices, or trying to get as much time in nature as you can. Do you still do that?
Yes, of course. It's everyone has to do it one in the week, because one day in the week, because we get so much stressful energy, and these mobile devices measure the heartbeat of your life, no, and you need to take everything away and be with you and your friends, your family, and make conscious about the time, and to be more in the nature, no, not to be in the car or something like that. No, it's nice to go touch the trees and things like that, because it grounds you really well. No.
Yeah. Do you still live in a treehouse?
No, right now I live in a nice palapa right now with floor and everything. But I'm have a nice big tree just in front of me right now, and he saved me, build me a tree house right now, and I'm just see how to do it to make it the best treehouse I can do, because I love to work the wood and make myself all the construction. So I hope I can give my family a good time up there.
This is so cool. What gives you hope today?
The hope, it's depends the mood. Sometimes I say, oh, we're all screwed, but I realize that this earth has been here for too much time, and there's cycles, and if we not survive this time, another species will do it, no? And I think if we screw up everything since, I don't know, like industrial revolution, well, maybe someday we are starting to see the old devices that the government is hiding to make the industrial oil complex not collapse, no, to maintain the status quo. And someday, I don't know, the new energies will come and Elon Musk will help us, no? That's a joke. I know that the conscious has to win, because this universe is so big, it's so great, and I don't think this childish behavior that we are having right now, I'm not saying the child behave bad, but make good, not so good decisions sometimes. But soon we are going to realize in some way that we can do it different, no? And we'll do so.
That is beautiful. There's usually a question that I close all my interviews with, but before I ask that, is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you wanted to talk about or mention?
I think I could say that the people that doesn't realize that we can make it different, yes, we can do it, and I am a little proof that we could make different things, no, in different ways, and we don't have to keep doing what you used to, because you used to do it, and just make the risk and go for it, no, take the steps to make it different and better and happy that you expect, no?
I would say you're not a little proof. I'd say you're a big proof that this is possible.
This is possible. Well, I'm not a perfect guy. I have many errors, and hope to make it better in some way, but I know I'm doing better than I used to be, you know, so I'm in the right direction.
Into the direction of the lighthouse.
Exactly.
I love it. Okay, well, the name of my podcast is Follow Your Kind. So I believe that we're brought into this world being wired for kindness, and it means different things for different people. Sometimes we act in a way that aligns with our values of kindness, and sometimes we don't, not because we don't want to, but maybe because we're not aware of it. But I think part of my mission, the way I see it, is exploring what kindness means to people who do amazing things like yourself, and hoping to inspire other people to define their value of kindness and follow it for themselves. And so because of that, I'd like to ask you what kindness means to you.
Kindness, it's like a vegan, no? It's you are not alone in this world, and the you used to, you have to do the well for everybody, not for you. No? That's the mantra I could say. It's if I do things for me in a selfish way, I'm not being kind with this world, no, that gives you everything. So I think kindness is that, no, be good for you and for the people and the animals and the plants and everyone. No? If you really know the meaning about it, you will stop doing a lot of things you used to do, no?
Hmm. This is so true. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Christian. I really appreciate all of your time. I know you're a busy, busy man. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And I wish you the best of luck. I hope everybody who's listening will follow Christian at Chlorophylla on the IG and help support through TripAdvisor or anything else. And if you're ever in Playa del Carmen, you must visit that restaurant. It is absolutely amazing.
Thank you very much.